Coming up on Terp Weekly Edition, one of College Park's most popular bars goes down.
University police crack down on a popular malt beverage that's made its way to College Park.
And find out more about the new university president, Wallace Lowe. Terp Weekly Edition starts now.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Beth Schwartz.
And I'm Jolie Doggett. The Thirsty Turtle has lost its liquor license. Terp Weekly Edition's Alex Dalberson was there last week when the Prince George's County Liquor Board sealed the bar's fate.
The Prince George's County Liquor Control Board said three strikes you're out to the Thirsty Turtle when they unanimously voted to revoke the bar's liquor license earlier this week. In delivering their verdict, the board noted that the latest violation of selling alcohol to a minor was the bar's third violation in just 3 years. Commissioner Earl Howard said that despite Turtle's recent efforts to eliminate underage drinking at the bar, the evidence suggested that nothing has changed.
So I don't see where there's any change in anything that's going on.
He compared the previous fines imposed on Turtle to those given to NFL players.
You know, they fined these guys $75,000, and so what? $75,000. They said they're going to take away their playing rights. They changed. And the whole week changed. And that's what we're doing.
The hearing was called due to a September 23rd incident when two University of Maryland students, Eric Hamrick and Andrew Ross, were allowed to enter into Turtle despite providing driver's licenses to the doorman, proving them to be under the legal drinking age.
Well, he hesitated for a second or two, and then he allowed me to go in afterward, and I paid the $5 cover charge and got my hand stamped.
The students were part of an integrity test coordinated by the Liquor Board and University of Maryland Police. Once the students entered the bar, they were able to buy two Bud Light beers. The doorman that night, Jordan Reed, said the slip-up was a mental lapse on his part and that he was disgusted by his mistake. Turtle's owner, Alan Wanick, told the board he fired Reed immediately after a county liquor inspector brought the sting operation to his attention, and he was stunned Reed missed two underage IDs in a row. Commissioner Armando Camacho seemed skeptical.
For a man who never accepts a murder ID from all the years that he's been doing this, and yet he accepts two of them,
I believe that. That's what I'm saying. I'm shocked. I couldn't believe it.
In the end, the board and chairman Franklin Jackson saw overwhelming evidence that this most recent incident was part of a negative trend.
It baffles me that so many people think that they were just getting the person if in fact there is no evidence. These people are trying to get into establishment, and they think that they're going to do it, and it's allowing them to think that they're going to be able to do it.
Turtle will be allowed to continue to sell alcohol until November 23rd, when the board will determine an official cause for revoking the license. In Hyattsville, I'm Alex Dalberson, Terp Weekly Edition.
College students across the country are going crazy for a new alcoholic energy drink, Four Loko. And now with the Thirsty Turtle's liquor license revoked, university police are more concerned than ever about the dangers it presents to students. I sat down with students and officials to learn more. Four Loko, the caffeinated alcoholic beverage that is sweeping college campuses across the country, has made its way to College Park. And it's no wonder it's so popular.
It's cheap, and it gets you drunk very fast.
It tastes better than beer.
Well, one, it's very catchy because when you see it on the shelf, like at the store, it's very brightly colored and like all the different flavors have all different colors. And then you look and it's only like $2.50.
But the energy drink has been in the news lately for more than just the good time it brings. University police are out to warn students about the dangerous effects of mixing caffeine and alcohol.
The caffeine, the taurine, the guarana, and alcohol. And so you get those effects of a stimulant as well as a depressant at the same time.
Ken Leonard, a police spokesperson at the University of Maryland, says the biggest danger with this combination is not being able to feel the effects of the alcohol.
You can kind of lead to believe that it's going to do some damage to somebody because they're going to think they might be a little bit better off than they are.
Students echo those sentiments.
When I drink it, it's hard to determine how drunk you are on it. And I like to do that. I like to pace myself with how much I'm drinking for how much I feel drunk.
The drink has been banned at, among other places, the Ramapo College in New Jersey, the University of Rhode Island, and throughout the state of Minnesota. And while Leonard says a ban in this area is unlikely, the recent decision to revoke the Thirsty Turtle's liquor license has officials even more concerned.
With the Thirsty Turtle closing, there are going to be people looking for another place to go, whether it's staying at home or going out to a house party somewhere else.
The consensus among students and police is that awareness is the key to safety.
Yeah, I only drink wine. Like, if I know that I'm having Four Loko, I don't drink anything before it because I'm like, it's the only thing I drink that I only drink one and that's it.
And it's not just Four Loko. There's other products that are just about the same out there on the market. And as long as they're aware of what those products have in them and what they could do to somebody, you know, just promoting responsible drinking.
I tell people, like, you have to be careful. Like, you have to plan your night around how you're drinking that.
In College Park, Beth Schwartz, Terp Weekly Edition.
A lecturer in the University English Department has been charged with second-degree murder after police found her in a home in St. Mary's County with the man who had been shot. Joanna Finlay was teaching 88 students in three sections of junior English courses. Students said that she was a helpful lecturer, but they also said her classroom discussion often involved talk of guns, how many she owned, and where students stood on gun control laws.
Up next, find out where you can sing about Jesus and get class credit.
And how can one lucky student win up to $3,000? You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Beth Schwartz.
And I'm Jolie Doggett. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m., the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center fills with the harmonious sounds of the Maryland Gospel Choir. I sat in on one of their practices to hear the method behind the melody.
What starts as a room full of indistinguishable chatter becomes a concert hall at the sound of these words.
Ready and sing.
Comprised of University of Maryland students and led by the eccentric and talented Dwayne Gregory, the Maryland Gospel Choir has been entertaining and instructing students for years. The choir provides a place to sing and praise for some students.
You never really get to sing during the school day. It's always studying, so getting a chance to sing and hear other people sing is really entertaining.
Since I don't really get a chance to go to a Bible study, I feel like the way I can praise God is at least through singing.
And for others, just a place to hang out and make friends.
I absolutely love it. Great people, great atmosphere. I don't believe in anything at all, but this is awesome. It's just that everyone's really accepting and they're just generally very nice people.
I love it. I like the sense of community. I like songs we sing. They're powerful. They're uplifting. I enjoy the company of the people here, you know.
Students may register to take gospel choir as an elective through the School of Music, or they could just join up at any practice any Thursday night. The Maryland Gospel Choir is sponsored by the Nimbrewer Cultural Center on campus. The choir holds biannual concerts during the fall and spring semester, in addition to guest appearances at the campus chapel. The choir has been under the instruction of Professor Dwayne Gregory for many years. His sarcastic sense of humor and booming voice is at first frightening, according to senior tenor Darren Samuels.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gregory. At first, he was pretty intimidating, definitely, you know, his height, his voice, you know, his demeanor. But once you get through all that, you know, you suffer through the supposed rigidness, you know, the discipline. But he's real, you know, down-to-earth, kind-hearted.
Gregory insists that there is a method to his madness.
It's a lot of love in the choir, although I'm strict and I'm firm, and my bark is worse than my bite. We do have a lot of fun here.
And although his instruction methods may seem at times extreme,
Got it?
The end result is nothing short of amazing.
College Park, I'm Jolie Doggett, Terp Weekly Edition.
The Business School and the Office of Information Technology are putting together the first mobility contest at the University of Maryland. Students are creating mobile apps that will improve campus life and maybe even get them some fame and fortune.
So you're going to have 3 or 4 minutes to pitch and a few minutes for comments.
Have you ever wanted to be the DJ at your favorite hangout spot or find a way to eat healthy while at college? These are only some of the apps students are designing for the mobility contest. This competition encourages groups of students to come up with a mobile application that they think will be most helpful to other students. Contestants range from computer science majors to chemistry majors to journalism majors. Each team works for months researching how to build their specific app, pitching their idea to a team of judges, and then actually designing the app to support any mobile platform. But this contest isn't all work and no play. Graduate student Jorge Faitong is working on an app to help students find a healthier food alternative and not worry about the dreaded freshman 15.
It's fun, you know, great opportunity to, first of all, come up with a brand new idea and like implement it actually. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, if I can make some money, cool.
Another graduate student, Randy Baton, has been thinking about his music playlist application, Jukes, for years.
The basic idea is when you're in a shared space, like at the gym or in Terp Zone or at a bar or something, it would be nice to be able to decide what music is playing there. And you can vote on the music selection that's available there. And then whatever the Juke server will play those songs for you. So I had this idea, and then I saw the contest, and I was like, oh, that's the perfect venue for it, and it'll actually get me to work on it. So it seemed like a good opportunity to maybe make some money in the process of coming up with a decent business idea, I think.
The winning group will get $3,000 and could even sell their product to a mobile company. Second place and third place winners will also receive $2,000 and $1,000 respectively. Ben Peterson, an associate professor for computer science and a judge for the contest, already has predictions about who will come out victorious.
I really truly believe that the best teams for this kind of work are interdisciplinary teams. Teams that come together with some technical expertise, but also some domain expertise and some, I'll call it business or expertise, right? You need to be able to understand what problem you're trying to solve and why it's valuable to someone. What is the value proposition? Why should they spend their time doing it? So if I make a prediction, I bet that the winning team is interdisciplinary.
In College Park, I'm Emily Grove for Terp Weekly Edition.
The university's newly appointed president, Wallace Lowe, officially began his tenure on November 1st. Members of the president's office hosted a reception at the Stamp Student Union for Lowe last Wednesday, where an estimated 2,000 members of the campus community came out to welcome him to campus. Lowe delivered a short speech in which he pledged to build upon the successes of previous presidents and raise the institution to new heights. Lowe speaks to the university senate this week, where he will deliver a more formal state of the campus address.
Coming up, find out how the dining hall tries to cater to you.
And we'll take a look at alternative eating options here on campus. This is Terp Weekly Edition.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Jolie Doggett.
And I'm Beth Schwartz. Many students at UMD have dietary restrictions, making their dining hall experience more difficult. Terp Weekly Edition's Jessie Brecker talked with one of these students about the challenges she faces in campus dining halls.
When Kat Griffin, a junior public health major, opens a box of cereal, it's not your typical Cheerios.
My crispy brown rice, it's delicious, by Erewhon. And you can tell, the ingredients are organic brown rice, organic brown rice syrup, and sea salt. It's those three, simple ingredients, and it's very similar to, like, Rice Krispies.
Nearly 2 years ago, Kat was diagnosed with celiac disease, an autoimmune disease causing an allergy to gluten. and in addition, she struggles with a dairy allergy. This leaves her with a very limited diet.
With celiac disease, I'm allergic to gluten, which is found in wheat, barley, rye, oats, most other grains. I also have a dairy allergy, so I can't eat anything with dairy products.
Kat came to UMD in the spring of 2009 and was diagnosed with celiacs about a month later. This created more stress for her than the typical college freshman, as she also had to adjust to her new diet. In addition to a full course load, she had to learn the ins and outs of her disease and what she could and could not eat. Living in the dorms on campus, she had to have a dining hall plan, which she soon learned would create yet another challenge.
Cross-contamination is basically, you know, when gluten-free foods are crossed with foods that contain gluten in one way or another, whether it's like food handling or food prep at the dining hall. Most people say, like, you know, we'll eat a salad. That wasn't really an option because of the treatment, the way that they, like, restock the salad bar.
When Kat returned to the dorms the following fall, her and her parents tried to avoid getting a meal plan, but Res Life wouldn't budge.
I can eat better, you know, in the dorm with just the microwave than I could at the dining hall. But they were pretty straightforward and said, you know, absolutely not. If you want to live in dorms, then you have to eat in our dining halls.
While Kat was not getting the proper nutrition at the dining halls, it was also not cost-effective, as gluten-free food is nearly double the price of typical groceries. I spoke with Bart Hippel, the Assistant Director of Communications for Dining Services, to get his take on how the dining hall deals with students who have dietary restrictions.
Celiac is something that we've been working with for about 3 or 4 years. Before that, we had not had any celiac students on campus. So our dietitian worked with our senior executive chef, and in each dining hall we have a freezer of flour and wheat-free products. The world has become, and dining services has become, much less one-size-fits-all.
Hippel agreed that the dining hall was not made for someone like Kat.
If it becomes obvious to us that she has so many restrictions and so many requirements that we can't feed her properly, and she doesn't believe she can be fed properly, we will work with Resident Life to immediately get her moved into an apartment.
Although Kat is now able to eat nutritionally and get a well-balanced diet, she still has a bitter feeling towards the dining hall and the money she was forced to spend there.
Every opportunity I had, I would pocket a couple of chocolate soy milks. I kind of used it as my way, not only to, like, retaliate against dining services, but to get my money's worth.
For Terp Weekly Edition, this is Jessie Brecker in College Park.
And while some people have eating restrictions related to health concerns, others choose their own restrictions. Terp Weekly Edition's Camille Bufano has the story.
Becoming a vegetarian in today's society has become a very common practice. I don't eat red meat or poultry, and I still get a puzzled look of wonder from my carnivore friends. It's a personal choice for me, as with many others who choose to go that path. Junior Tiffany Fay has been a vegetarian for a year and a half.
I wasn't, like, raised vegetarian. My parents don't really support it or anything because my mom's like, you're wasting away.
Her parents aren't the only ones who don't support her eating habits.
Marilyn likes to talk about how they're so vegetarian friendly, and they're not, because they think that all vegetarians thrive on lettuce.
According to Tiffany, the university's reputation is a little misleading.
They get away with vegetarian friendly by having Salad Works and a sushi place that has, like, one vegetarian option.
But there's one place that has her stamped approval.
The co-op is basically the best place to go. Their prices are really, like, decent for actually, like, healthy food.
The food co-op, located in the basement level of Stamp, is a well-known shop that is vegan and vegetarian friendly. They make many of their cafe dishes from scratch and have many food options ranging from baba ganoush to curries. Senior Joseph Parker has been a paid worker at the co-op for 2.5 years now and felt it fit his former vegetarian lifestyle.
When I first started working, it was really important to be working a place that was vegetarian, although we do have meat options as well and vegan options.
Working at the co-op has influenced the way he thinks about food.
Priorities have really changed. Like, I'm not vegetarian anymore, but I really still value a lot of like vegetarian politics, and just thinking very intently about what you're eating and why eating should be a really important part of your day.
Using fresh and local ingredients is a staple to the co-op.
It's very important that food is coming as local as possible,
just to reduce the amount of oil that's going into our food.
The Stamp Student Union features 7 food court restaurants: Adele's, a sit-down restaurant, a coffee bar, Subway located in the Terp Zone, the Union Shop, and the Maryland Co-op, all of which serve some form of meat. Tiffany doesn't feel Maryland is offering enough for its food-restricted students.
College Park, culturally, like, there's a lot of vegetarians and vegans, and unfortunately there's not a lot of places that offer healthy alternatives.
The co-op offers some of the healthiest food options for students on campus. Joseph hopes students will be more open-minded about the store.
I don't think anyone should have, like, a closed opinion about what the co-op is.
In College Park, Camille Bufano, Terp Weekly Edition.
Coming up, feeling a bit moody or slightly depressed these days? You may have the seasonal blues.
Do you have plans early in the morning? We'll tell you what event has students heading over to the Stamp Student Union. You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Beth Schwartz.
And I'm Jolie Doggett. Trouble getting up in the morning, especially now that the weather is getting cooler?
Or are you experiencing sudden mood changes? If you answered yes to either of these questions, or both, you may have seasonal affective disorder. Terp Weekly Edition's Cindy Lee tells us more about this condition.
Got the blues? Well, you're not alone. As the weather gets cooler, it's common to feel sluggish, gloomy, and even slightly depressed. But don't brush off that feeling as simply a case of the winter blues. It might be seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD. SAD is a mood disorder in which people experience depressive symptoms during a certain season, usually winter. According to university psychologist Dr. Jonathan Kandel, symptoms of SAD include
basically lack of motivation, feelings of tiredness or lack of energy, moodiness, difficulties sleeping sometimes. There can be problems eating. Sometimes people may eat too much or not feel hungry at all.
Symptoms of SAD typically start in the fall and may continue into the winter months. University of Maryland students are already experiencing some of the symptoms of SAD or the winter blues.
I feel lethargic, I feel slow, I have no energy, and I am in a bad mood. I'm drinking coffee all day.
And the cold gets me down.
You want to stay in the house and stuff mostly.
Pretty much just stay inside.
There is a correlation between sunlight and your mood and your energy and your activity.
So can symptoms of SAD cause problems for students? Dr. Kandel says yes.
Well, I think the main thing is that students who are feeling unmotivated, and especially given the time of the year, can really run into some problems because finals are happening, it's the projects are due, papers are due, and if they're feeling depressed or a lack of energy or lack of motivation, then they may have a lot of trouble getting these done, and that will then create other problems like guilt and anxiety.
But SAD doesn't affect everyone. Some students prefer cold weather.
I love the cool weather. It's just my favorite time of the year.
I'm from a pretty hot area, so I kind of like when it cools down.
I don't know, it makes me more happy. I like the holiday seasons, and I like snow and winter, so it's positive for me.
Some students are simply not affected by the winter blues.
I don't like cold weather, but it doesn't affect me to the point where I'm going to be depressed. I don't get moody for long periods of time, like a season.
Dr. Kandel says taking a midday walk and getting as much sun as possible can help relieve symptoms of SAD or the winter blues. But whether it's the winter blues or seasonal affective disorder, simply spending time with friends and family can be a good solution. With warm wishes for the cool season, I'm Cindy Lee for Terp Weekly Edition.
Season ticket sales are down for sporting events at the University of Maryland, and many are blaming students' profanity-laced chants and t-shirts displayed at the games. New athletic director Kevin Anderson said he won't restrict students' right to freedom of expression by ejecting them from games, but urges students to realize that their chants are ultimately destructive. Anderson also noted that while some families said they choose not to renew their season tickets because of the atmosphere, he supports the students giving their all to cheer for the Terps.
Those who commute to campus sometimes feel disconnected from campus life. Terp Weekly Edition's Faye Koya went to one event committed to making sure commuters feel as comfortable as possible.
These are not the sounds you usually hear at 7:30 in the morning, but this is the atmosphere the students find at the Good Morning Commuters Breakfast held in the Prince George's Room of the Stamp Student Union. According to Darian Schiffman, coordinator for off-campus student involvement, there are approximately 28,000 commuters on Maryland's campus, and she's committed to making them feel included.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole purpose behind the program is to give students who commute a place to come together and talk and relax and enjoy some good food and have their morning coffee. So we really just try to make it as welcoming as possible.
And with some commuters coming from all across the state.
I'm commuting from Kensington, Maryland.
Smyrna Park in Anne Arundel County.
Columbia, Maryland.
Many are grateful for this event.
Honestly, I needed this morning because I'm only having broken off like 4 hours of sleep. So the orange juice was awesome.
It's free food, so it makes me happy.
It's really nice because a place for all of us to meet each other and like talk about our different stories.
And they've got stories. The students discussed everything from why they choose to commute.
Actually, I'm a transfer student.
I live 25 to 30 minutes away, so why would I pay to live here?
I'm a fifth-year senior, so I wouldn't have a shot.
To where they go during their free time.
You're stuck at Stamp all day. You don't really have anywhere else to go.
I may go to the library or read or something. Go to the gym, work out.
Many share similar frustrations.
The worst part of commuting is the commute.
You have to like adjust to traffic. I can't roll out of bed and walk to class 5 minutes before it starts.
Fifth year senior Caress has lived on campus before and says commuting is a much different experience.
When you're a commuter, especially when you don't drive and you're taking public transportation, you're always relying on other transportation, and sometimes you may not get up early enough and you'll miss the bus. You have to be able to be responsible, and your time management has to be on point. It's a lot of benefits as far as maturing and growing up.
Many agree that there are some upsides to commuting, like saving money and being closer to their families. But some say that it is easy to feel disconnected.
A lot of stuff is like at the moment.
I can't participate most of the time because I'm just too like tired or like not ready for it.
You can't really hang out at 7 p.m. and 8 because you got to get home and things like that, and you don't really feel like hanging around campus that long because you have book bags and things like that. It's really hard.
Despite the issues, many praise the Off-Campus Student Association for their outreach.
They plan things that's convenient for us, so because of them, you feel like you are a part of the campus.
Graduate coordinator Evan Witt wants people to be aware of the other events the office hosts.
We sponsor an Off-Campus Student Appreciation Week in the spring where we have events that go all week long. We'll do the Good Morning Commuters every morning and have laser tag, and there's an off-campus housing fair.
He's impressed with the popularity of the breakfast.
The first one we had about 160 students. The second one we had over 200 and ran out of food by 9 o'clock. And then today we've already had almost 100 students and it's not even 8:30 yet. So
this is like my fourth time.
I've been coming to the breakfast since freshman year.
You don't need to get up so early to prepare your breakfast at least once a month.
Good Morning Commuters is held at the Stamp Student Union on the first Wednesday of every month. At the University of Maryland, I'm Faye Koya, Terp Weekly Edition.
Though a new College Park retail store called the Comfort Zone doesn't receive much attention from the outside, it's raising eyebrows once students step in. Terp Weekly Edition's Fiona Weeks has more.
From the outside, there's nothing scandalous or salacious about the Comfort Zone, a College Park retail store located on Route 1. But once you go inside, the Comfort Zone is an adult store selling a variety of lingerie, sex toys, pornographic tapes, and magazines. Though a unique addition to the College Park scene, it's not a new one. The Comfort Zone opened in February, though many College Park students remain relatively unaware of the store's presence. Do you know what the Comfort Zone is? And it's a store in College Park. Have you heard of it?
No.
No, I've never heard of it.
The Comfort Zone. I think so. Is that the one where they did an article about it in the Diamondback last week? I couldn't even tell you where it's located even after reading the article. I've never been over there before.
Though students may not be visiting stores like the Comfort Zone to purchase adult merchandise, that doesn't mean they aren't stocking up. Passion parties, or slumber parties as they're sometimes called, have become increasingly popular around the College Park campus. Emily Meyerwitz, executive director with Passion Party, explains.
It's very confidential type of home shopping party situation where they can enjoy the evening together and do some romance shopping.
During these parties, a group of female friends sit with a party consultant like Meyerwitz, who shows them a variety of adult products they can use to spice up their sex lives. Shalane Rollins, a senior at the university, threw a passion party last year with her roommates in their commons apartment. Rollins says about 15 girls attended the event.
We just kind of heard what it was about, and it was getting pretty popular, so we figured that there was something to it and it might be fun.
While products available for purchase at the parties include massage oils, vibrators, flavored lube, and condoms, there are also a variety of non-sexual items like body washes and perfumes available as well.
You know, sex and the purchasing of sex toys is something that usually people feel kind of embarrassed about doing. So it was nice to kind of have an event that everybody was really comfortable with and have someone just come and show you things that you can buy.
Most say the private party experience is more comfortable than shopping at a traditional adult store like the Comfort Zone. Senior Brittany Moreland.
It's the environment that encourages me to feel comfortable enough to buy something like that. With people my age, all-girl environment, basically not shopping alongside like some creepy guy.
So while most students agree they aren't always ready to step into a public store to pick up their adult goods, that doesn't mean they aren't buying. For Terp Weekly Edition, in College Park, I'm Fiona Weeks. That's all for this week's Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Beth Schwartz.
And I'm Jolie Doggett. We'll be back next week with more news from in and around College Park. And don't forget, you can take us with you. You can find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.